A good realtor will spend 3 hours a day calling.
This is not your typical boring real estate show. This is Real Estate Marketing Redefined, uncensored, and unedited in what's working today in the market, minus the fluff. This is Real Estate Marketing Dude, because just having a license isn't enough. Now please welcome your host, the unprofessional professional, Mike Cuevas.
Hey.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Real Estate Marketing Dude podcast. And we're here for the last episode of 2018. And I think we're going to be talking about a subject and a topic that will be very relevant in 2019. So for those of you that have not checked out and are actually ready to make a difference next year, you're going to really want to pay attention to this podcast, because what we got today is very, very good. Folks, I don't need really an introduction for this guest. Most of you know who he is. And if you don't know who he is, where the hell have you been? Get out from underneath your rock and, take a look, because if you're going to plan on doing anything in Facebook, you're probably looking at and talking to the best number one source of doing it today. And his name, without further ado, is Mr. Travis Tom. Travis, how are you? Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Mike. Always, always a pleasure.
So, Travis, please, for the people that don't know you, for the one or two people who don't, can you please introduce yourself and give a little bit of a background on who you are and what the hell you do?
Certainly. So, I am a Facebook marketing strategist. I run a Facebook advertising agency. We're a international agency, so we create Facebook campaigns for the real estate industry all over the world. So, New Zealand, Australia, Canada, Mexico, throughout the U.S., We get to see all the different types of campaigns that are working and strategies that are working right now. So the best targeting or the best type of headline, whatever it might be. So over the past couple years, we've now surpassed over 250,000 leads that we've generated through our campaigns and helping our clients. And, you know, we handle ad accounts that are spending large ad spend. So sometimes they're spending $40,000, $50,000 a month in ad spend. And some clients are spending $500 to $1,000 in ad spend. It just depends kind of about where they are within their business. But that gives us really kind of a 30,000 foot view and deeper insight. And the different strategies that I deploy are things based on persuasion and influence through the kind of consumer cycle, right? How people actually think, what gets them to click, what is the decision cycle over the next 60 days to 6 months, and what kind of content do we need to do? So that, you know, in a nutshell, that's kind of what we do. Yeah.
So basically, you've seen a lot of different shit, and you know what works and what doesn't, because you have the ability to be a fly on the wall of so many different ad campaigns, essentially. I mean, you're not the fly, you're the guy mixing the potions up and creating the magic behind it.
Right.
So folks, that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the who, what, when, where, why of Facebook ads and what's coming, because Travis, let's be honest, this shit has changed in the last 3 years. Like, I remember back in the day, actually right when I started to get, even a little bit before you and I met, I remember just, hey, let's run some CMA ads, and like no one else was doing them yet. And it was just like, you know, right. Those were like, seemed like the easy days of Facebook. But, you know, then slowly what happened is that everyone started doing them, and then they went very, very stale. So what we want to get into today is sort of, okay, what's coming? What should people adapt in? Because if you guys haven't noticed, the platform's changed. And along with change is you have to change. And that's what this is all about. So Let's start at the beginning here, Travis. What do you think is, you know, there's a difference between agents who create content and agents who don't even know how to create content. There's a difference between marketing content on Facebook and then just going and acquiring just direct leads. And they sort of work hand in hand, right?
Right.
So I want to sort of dumb that down for everybody and walk through sort of how that works and what you believe is going to happen going forward with content creation and Facebook and why people need it. So before we get started on that, what's content creation? Let me just define it really stupidly for you guys. Content is anything that you guys do in your daily business that reflects a story, that reflects your service, your persona, or anything. It could be creating a case study out of a client you just helped downsize into a house. It's not just sold. It's, hey, I just helped this old man spend less than $1,000 a month on their mortgage payment. Here's how, right? So we're talking about storytelling content. Think about H fucking GTV, folks. And that's what this is. HGTV exists only because there's a huge appetite to consume the stuff that we do on a daily basis, yet you're not freaking doing it. So that's what we mean by content, storytelling through the way you're serving, through the way you're helping others. So Travis, let's get into it, if that sort of...
Yeah. So, you know, one of the biggest benefits with good storytelling and good content that you're consistent with is the ability to build your own tribe, right? The people that really like what you're putting out, what resonates with them. Now, there's a whole kind of deep psychology behind this and methodology that we use. And before I kind of tap into that, one of the things that we've seen, and it was about for the past year, we tested around $80,000 in ad spend on a few different campaigns that indicated to us the quality of content and the consistency of it, what that actually does to the cost of your campaigns, cost per lead. So there's a difference between just, you know, posting content and then running campaigns, lead generation campaigns, and then posting content that's good content consistently and then running campaigns. So to kind of give you an idea, we had one client that was spending around $4,000 to $5,000 a month, and they were posting on their business page, right, organic posts, maybe about once a week. And then we had a campaign for them that was, you know, spending $4,000 to $5,000 generating leads. Those leads were coming in around $12 per lead. Then we have client B that was spending same $4,000 to $5,000 a month in ad spend, and they're posting organic posts on their business page about 3 to 4 times a week. And the content was a little bit more refined, a little bit deeper, a little bit more relevant to the actual audience. And what we saw over those campaigns, and the kind of a few others kind of fragmented out that we split tested, is that in very similar markets, very similar campaigns, is that the agent that had the campaigns that were putting out content consistently, they were generating leads around $3 to $5 a lead, mm-hmm. versus the one agent A, right, that was only posting occasionally, and they were generating leads around $12 per lead. So, you know, we kind of reverse engineered that and went a little deeper, and then tried it even on our own accounts, and, you know, basically kicked up the posting, kicked up a few different things, and kind of had a mastermind about it with a few other types of Facebook experts in the world. And we were all sharing this data and kind of seeing that, you know, there's a consistent type of data we keep seeing, which is that the more we post and the more quality content we post, the lower the cost per action on the campaigns, lower the cost per click, lower the cost per lead, lower the cost per just pretty much every kind of action that's out there. We thought it might be an anomaly at first, but then, you know, once you kind of get over like 20,000 in ad spend on these different kind of things, you start to see a lot of data coming in. Mm-hmm. So with that, what we decided is that the better the content, and then, you know, we kind of went through and reverse engineered again, is that Facebook has what they call a quality score attached to your page. The quality score isn't something that you can physically see. It's basically, you know, kind of behind the blue wall within Facebook. That the quality score attached to your page is based on a few different factors. Your ad spend, are you consistently putting ads out there? Are you paying your Facebook ad spend bill? That's important.
Good. It might cut you off.
Yeah, well, you'll get flagged, and those will count against you over time. And then, are people engaging with the content, right? And then, are you posting organic posts consistently with healthy content that people enjoy? That increases your page quality score. And with that, your ad account is attached to your business page, right? So then any kind of ads you're putting out there, it's saying, oh, this person has participated. They are a well-vetted advertiser that is giving content out that people really enjoy, that want to consume. We're going to give them a lower cost per action. Now, there's several different factors that kind of move into that, but the key underlying thing, right, to kind of take away from that is that you should be posting more content that's more relevant to your specific audience over time. That's going to be one kind of major benefit that gets squeezed out of that consistency.
Very interesting. So let's talk about quality content versus just checking a box. Let's be honest. Most of us are D personalities. Would you agree with that, Thomas? You work with a lot of real estate agents. Would you say that once, a lot of them are D personalities, which means most of our brains work off of a checklist.
Yeah.
You know, we just want to check that box. And what Travis is saying, that this is something you don't just check the box with. Like, you got to spend some time writing these contents. I'll give you a perfect example. So I made a post on Christmas. You know, I've had a, you know, I went through a lot of challenges in 2018, even the year before and whatnot. I made a post and I wrote a story and I spent about 30 minutes writing that post. And because it was real and it was raw, it generated over 300 comments just on my personal page.
Now,
and it's just, there wasn't an image even associated with it. It was literally just words. That shows you the power behind words and what people say. And really all it was my story. I was just telling the truth, right? I was just being me.
Yeah.
So the content was real. It was authentic. It was raw. And it meant something. And, you know, take that. And I want to compare quality content versus just checking a box, because there's a lot of services that'll post for you, right?
Right.
I've never been a big fan of these things. And, you know, you cannot outsource authenticity.
No.
You cannot have somebody. That's why I hate when people ask us the question, like, hey, dude, will you just run my social media? I'm like, no, I'm not you. I've never lived, walked a day in your shoes. How the hell do you want me to run your social media for you, dude? I even know how you talk. What the hell you do?
Yeah. Tell me what works. Yeah.
Right. So it's like, get the hell out of here. You got to do your own shit.
Yeah.
So tell me that about that. Because there's a lot of people who are going to say, oh, God, instantly they're going to hear that and they're going to go out and try to find a service that can post for them. So let's talk about quality content and what that means. So in your eyes, what does quality content mean?
Yeah, in my eyes, quality content is something that, just like you mentioned, it's going to be an element of storytelling. It's going to be an element of actually showing some authenticity behind the scenes. And it's going to be engaging, right? It's going to be thought-provoking. It's going to get people to comment and like it or share it. And Facebook views it in the same kind of way, which is, you know, when they made the changes to the algorithm, January 2018 and then in March in 2018, they made some pretty significant changes where they suppressed the organic reach of business pages. And that basically, you know, where you used to be able to create a post and it would then be shown, let's say you had 5,000 people that liked your page and it'd be shown to maybe 2,000 or 3,000 of those 5,000 people. Well, you do a post on your business page today and it's only going to maybe reach, let's say, you know, 80 to 200 people out of those 5,000, right?
Is that like 5%?
Maybe 5 to 7%, right? Not a lot, right? And is it showing it to the right people within that audience? And Facebook did this for a couple of reasons. One, to free up the Facebook news feed to be able to allow more posts, because there's 1,500 different stories, right, that are competing for people's attention every day in the Facebook newsfeed, and only 300 of them actually really make it inside the Facebook newsfeed for that. And then a mix of them are ads. So the business pages, basically, they did that because they reached max ad load and they needed to free up the newsfeed to be able to have more placement in there, push people into the ad manager. But Facebook also said that they did it to get more quality content to connect people to family and friends and have a deeper engaging relationship online, right? Kind of one of the main purposes they created Facebook, right? Being a social network. So with that in mind, when you get content that's out there and people are commenting on it and liking it, sharing it, that sends signals over to the Facebook algorithm and says, this is content that people like and enjoy. It's relevant to them. So it's actually meeting the expectations of the algorithm, right? Is an optimal consumer experience. And they have their own formula, which kind of goes into the BEAR, right? The Facebook algorithm BEAR, which stands for bidding, expected action, and relevancy. But when you're creating engaging content, Facebook looks at, they used to look at it as shares, likes, and comments. They no longer look at the likes. They now look at shares and comments. If it's getting shared, that's kind of at the top tier, right? If it's shared, that's a kind of a high signal to the algorithm that says, people like this, it's optimal content for the consumer base. Let's put it out to more people. So the more people that actually engage with a post, that comment on it and share it, then the more that it's going to actually feed out and reach out to more people, right? It's going to get served out to more people, creating more opportunity to get more engagement. And Facebook is designed to get people to stay on there longer. So the better the content, it's actually telling Facebook, oh, this is going to help people stay on the platform longer and create that deeper relationship, right? To keep that kind of connected loop, right? To keep them in that cycle. So content that I view as, in terms of in real estate, is being able to actually kind of peek behind the scenes a little bit sometimes, where you demystify and take off that kind of shellacked type of fake atmosphere that I think a lot of social media has, which is that it's hyper curated and people feel like that's not maybe real life, but they still want to be able to see a little bit of, you know, some show business behind it, but they want to see mistakes, right? They want to know that you're real, that you're actual human. And a bad story makes a good story sometimes.
Yeah.
And if you could peek behind the curtain and say, take a look at our staging that we're doing behind this house, you know, take a look at this new open house that we were walking through, you know, show elements of your daily life, but then put content out there, like you mentioned, which is a really good idea, case studies that shows the actual social proof. And so we created our own methodology a couple of years ago for this type of content that we use in our advanced retargeting campaigns. And so what we do with those campaigns, we drip out ads in a delayed sequence, kind of called a push along funnel. And I won't get too deep into it, but basically what we're doing is we're taking people through this indoctrination process after we have used some sort of top of funnel type of ad that triggers as a tripwire, right? Based on their behaviors and actions online, they interacted with a video or an ad, whatever it might be, and then they're going to see a series of different retargeting ads. And those ads are typically a little bit more of storytelling type of content. And that what that's going to do is a couple of things. So the acronym that we're using is called BURST. And you want to be able to tell your brand story or brand introduction. That could be via video or short story on, you know, we've been in the business for over 16 years. We've helped over 5,000 families move. And, you know, it never gets dull, right? We love it, right? Whatever it might be that you can kind of cascade that. Then from there, so that's BURST. So brand story, and then we have untapped opportunity, which is typically an opportunity to see a list of homes or off-market properties, whatever it might be, an opportunity that aligns with something that's property-centric that they actually offer. It's not about them, right, as the brokerage or the team or the agent. It's more about the needs of the consumer, right? So you're pulling them back in a little bit, and then reciprocity. So reciprocity is giving them an item of value. And this is really important when you have an audience that doesn't know you and their awareness level is really low in terms of where they are, right? If an audience is really hyper aware of you, then it's more about personal storytelling. But if an audience is not aware, then you need to give them items that are more educational type of items, right? Top 5 ways to buy a home with zero down, or top 10 mistakes home sellers make when trying to sell their home. So, you know, something that's going to actually educate them and position you as the authority figure, right? And then there's social proof directly after that that builds trust. Totally. The social proof part is typically testimonials, more about your market share, market production, but ideally some sort of testimonial or case study that you can give them that's going to build that trust because you have someone else vouching for you, right? Setting the stage. And all of that really is just kind of persuasion and influence, right? You're taking through this indoctrination process, dropping quality content over time, pre-framing in their mind that you are the solution to their upcoming problem. And that essentially by heavy brand awareness and having being omnipresent, and if ideally if you're getting texts and emails at the same time and seeing all these different ads on Instagram and all these different kind of posts from you, it creates this overwhelming presence that you are the authority figure. Yep. You're the right choice. Now, the opportunity and the goal is to really be in front of them during their decision cycle. Right. So that's why consistency is key, because a good majority of the prospects out there that are on Facebook, they're in different life stages, right? They are moving at different speeds and paces based on the psychographic profile that's been assigned to them through their actions. So if they're a baby boomer, right, that's downsizing, or they're a young couple that just had a baby and they want to move up to a larger home, you need to still be able to stay in front of them during all those decision cycles so that you hit them at the right spot. And that a lot of that is just based on constantly being in front of them with content. So there's passive content where you're just posting it, and then there's the active content where then you're taking it, warehousing it, and putting it into some sort of funnel, some Facebook ad campaign funnel, and then making sure that content is really put to use and you're squeezing every ounce of the best and highest use of that content by telling the same story again and again and again through a series of different ads, right, that are retargeting these prospects. So, you know, content, good content is storytelling, peeking behind the scenes, and then being able to really showcase your strengths and the benefits that you can provide to those people's life, right? Giving value. Because at the end of the day, if you're not giving value, then you're just making a lot of noise. And people are not going to gravitate towards that, right? They're going to gravitate the ones that, you know, when you were in school, who would you ask, you know, the biggest questions to? Is probably the teacher, the professor, right? The educator. So I think in today, and especially moving in 2019, when there's uncertainty and questions, there's educational marketing. And that's really what you really need to focus on, is educational marketing and positioning yourself by telling the story and giving them something of value that actually makes a difference in their life, right? You have to actually do that. And then you create a bond through educating. If you're not educating them, it's just about me, me, me. Then, you know, that's going to just position you into a corner and people are going to ignore you.
There's so many golden nuggets in all that he said, folks, that I hope you were writing that all down. And if not, go ahead and rewind and press replay and write it down and then listen to it four or five more times. Super duper interesting. You mentioned a couple key points I want to break down, all right? You have passive content versus real estate content. Because I know people are like, holy shit, how much content can I create? Their heads are blowing up.
Right.
So passive content is storytelling. We call it like transactional content, right? So let's give them some live examples of stuff they can be doing and how they could carry the story. So how many of you guys are working with rehabbers or investors or developers? Like, and I'm very biased with video. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to give myself a shameless plug on my own podcast right here. And I'm not going to feel bad about it. But using video through story is exactly how I believe you can accomplish this, because it's the easiest way to go about doing it. But let's just take a rehabber, right? So I crafted out a script series for a rehabbing company here in San Diego. And it was really simple. We're actually taking one rehab and turning it into three different pieces of content. So the first one was, okay, hey guys, I'm standing out in front of this house. I just bought it for $400,000 and it is a complete shithole. We're going to go inside and look at all the rats in just a second. I'm going to tell you what my vision for this house is. So that's the coming soon plan, right? Oh, and by the way, if you want to buy this house and you feel like customizing it yourself, we can still do that. Come on and give me a call. I'm right here, blah, 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 blah. That's video number one. Video number two comes through sort of the progression of it, right? Video number two, part two of that series. Hey guys, everything's almost done right here. Check it out. This is the before, this is the after, with a lot of video editing so we can make it really easy, right? And then video three would be the actual finished product, the day of the open house. Now, when we're done with that, we would take all three of those videos and combine them into one HGTV-like story and then market that whole case study eventually. However, I just made four pieces of content out of one property. Right. The other way you guys can go about doing this is just think about all your just solds. Travis is exactly right. No one gives a crap about how many houses you sold or how much money you made this week. When you're posting just sold, what you're really saying is I made 20 grand this week and you didn't. I'm better than you are in my eyes. I hate when people brag about making money. It depends on how you do it, you know. Yeah. And if you think about it, there's a different way to position the way you speak to people, and storytelling is all of that. So if your goal with your just listed post is to say, hey, I just sold a house, let's be honest, that's what we want to say. Hey, don't forget I exist. Don't forget I exist. Right. Instead of saying I just sold a house and saying how much money you make, start saying I just helped this 49-year-old homeowner who just got divorced get rid of not only his wife, but the house that caused the divorce in the first place. And here's how. Right? So I would put it into a story, because that would go. And Travis knows we would target that into it's complicated people, right? Or people on their way out that are getting a divorce. The other thing is so that's one really, really cool thing. Now, I know people are also thinking, do I have to talk about real estate on every bit of freaking content I do? No, you shouldn't. Yeah. Please don't. If you're constantly selling, like, let's put it this way. 70% of people use the first agent they speak to, right? At the same time, over 60, 70% of business comes from people we already know. Okay, that's a mathematical fact. Yeah. So the question is do you talk to your best friends about real estate all the freaking time? Travis, when you go out tonight and you guys go have some wine, maybe you guys can meet some friends and
Some years,
are you just going to talk about Facebook ads the entire time?
25% of it, I'm going to talk about myself and Facebook ads. And then everyone's going to get real quiet, and then I'm going to talk about other things. Yeah.
Guys, don't be talking about, there's a way through storytelling to infer, to remind people sort of subliminally what you do.
Yeah.
Without hitting them over the head with your lockbox is all I'm saying. Because that shit is annoying after a while.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, so I used to run a real estate brokerage, right? I grew it into three different companies. I started when I was 19, way back in the day. And at the height of it, we had a team of 30 people. We had, I had 271 listings. And we started though from pretty much absolutely nothing. And a lot of what we did was educational marketing. So my first 3 years of starting real estate were painful. They were really, really awful. I was super broke. Everything I tried, it just didn't seem to work, right? And I had a lot of energy, trust me. Like at that age, I was like, let's do it all. But what started to work though was actually helping people and demystifying what real estate was to them or what they thought it was, right? Kind of debunking myths. And so, and you've probably heard me tell you this story, but you know, I was door knocking in the first like 24 months, door knocked on over 2,000 homes and not one of them said yes. And my brother, I was telling him like, hey, I'm thinking about quitting real estate. And he's like, well, you know, let's kind of talk about like, what are you doing? And I said, you know, well, I'm door knocking. And I just basically ask if they want to sell their home. And he said, so you don't give them anything. You just ask if they want to sell their home.
So walk up, show up in the front. You know what would happen if someone did that in Chicago? You would get shot.
I came close to that. Someone let out the Rottweiler actually. And I heard, well, because I was carrying on these little American flags. So it was July 3rd and I was wearing a, you know, full suit, dress shoes. And I was determined to like take over this neighborhood. It had like 400 homes in it. And I didn't really think about my, you know, whole setup there, but it had these all little American flags I'm holding and putting them in the mailbox and then knocking on the door and then asking them. Well, I got to a certain kind of point in the night where the sun was going down. I took off my shoes because I'm exhausted from walking around in dress shoes. Just really wasn't thinking straight. And I hear this gate creak open after I kind of put a little American flag in a postcard. And you hear like the scraping, you know, of my claws.
Run.
On the street. And yeah. I was like, what is that? And then I turned and realized, well, it's this giant Rottweiler that this family let out because I thought I was breaking into their house. And so I ran with my dress shoes, all these little American flags kind of like fluttering behind me. And I ran probably about, I think, three blocks, found the car, got into it and took off. And that, you know, that basically kind of summed up like 3 years of my real estate career was being
chased by Rottweiler. All right, folks, we're talking about creating content. That is a story that I would tell right off the bat right there. Right. Just what Travis said, like, but this is what, way back when you probably didn't have the tech to do that story effectively. Like your cell phone wasn't the camera quality it was today. Right. I would have titled that, I just got chased by a Rottweiler working. Here's how. I'm sorry, but everybody on your feed is going to watch that shit.
Well, so the next day I went in to the office and everyone was gathered around the front desk. There was like 17 people because there was a Monday, you know, or the meeting that was coming up. And the receptionist was playing the message that was left by the guy that let the Rottweiler out saying, I just woke up, checked my mailbox. Thank you so much for the postcard. I just wanted to check on your agent and see if he's okay. I thought he was breaking into my house. And so it was like right then and there, I kind of made this decision on, okay, I'm not putting out quality content. I'm not actually doing any hard work except exhausting myself, which is really the fastest way to burn out. So I remember going up, we were hanging out with my brother and I was telling him like, hey, I'm going to tell mom and dad, you know, that basically I'm going to peace out of this whole real estate gig. And we were chopping wood up in the mountains. Cause that's what we did up there is, yeah, we had chores. So he said, well, let's talk about what you're doing. And I said, well, what are the questions you're getting a lot? And I said, there's a lot of people that are my age that are moving into college and they're wondering how can they get into a house and is there financing available? And he said, all right, well, tell me what were the last kind of homes that you door knocked on and did you do anything that kind of contributed to that? So, well, I was with a lender for the last 500 homes that I door knocked, and he had what's called a kiddie condo loan. And the kiddie condo loan basically was this loan that you would co-sign with your parents as a college student, and they would give you basically you'd kind of piggyback on their credit and allow you to then buy a house with.
This is a countrywide product, right?
Yeah, it was a countrywide product at the time, yeah. Yeah, we all know what happened.
Yeah,
presumably those that rode through it. And so if that program, I mean, it was like 2.5 or 3% down, FHA kind of loan. And so he helped me basically design a guide, because I get kind of these questions from college kids of like, well, what's equity? So like, why is that important? You know, or what's a mortgage or what's appreciation? And I thought, you know what, we need to really educate them so they can see the opportunity. So we created a guide called how to make those 4 years very, very profitable. And it was a guide that went over appreciation, equity, and how to buy a property and over the next 4 or 5 years, what the average appreciation rate is, how you're going to basically make it out on top. Right? How are you going to be able to then make money and pay off your student loans? And that guide, we created it and sent then we had a link to a website in there where they could then download a list of homes that qualified for all the properties that would be FHA, kiddie condo kind of approved around the local university area, which had 26,000 students. So last ditch attempt, only had a couple grand to spend. It was like the last of the money out there. Put that out. We had the website that they would link to. That content is what changed everything for me in my real estate career. People started reading it. They would go to the website, request a list of homes. They would then contact their parents, contact me. And then I started showing homes to these students around the local university, and they would want to see condos and townhouses. So I basically take them to these condo projects and townhouse projects, and then I would bring more buyers there than the actual sales team, to the point where one of the developers said, he fired everybody on the spot and said, I will give you basically the higher percent commission, right? 7% if you sell the whole building out in 4 months. If you don't, your commission goes down basically month by month directly after that. And so I did, and I sold the building out. And then because of that, I got another building and then another building, to the point where we had over $100 million in inventory, condo and townhouse projects over the next 3 to 4 years. And then that built all these different companies. And that's basically where I cut my teeth on internet lead generation, Facebook marketing, right? Landing pages. So when you talk about educational kind of content, think about the people that are posting just the generic stuff out there, the boilerplate, kind of talking about interest rates or some of those things. Those that have a place in marketing, but typically it's not the kind of marketing that's going to be able to solidify a bond and relationship through digital marketing, where people are going to then comment, share, message you, right, and kind of ask questions. That's more of like the direct response, bottom of the funnel type of content you send out via email or text, like, hey, right, just want to catch up and let you know if you think.
It's more database stuff too. Something to stay in front of your database, but not new customer acquisition.
Not new customer acquisition. So I tell that story to really kind of position people's brains that you need to become the educator with part of your content. And then the rest of it can then be more of the humanizing element of storytelling, right? The neighborhood that you grew up in, a video of you walking through a community of a family that you just helped move in there in the school district, right? Information that people actually want to know that they're too busy to actually research or digest in some sort of way. You need to be the steward of your community and be able to position yourself as a tour guide that actually happens to sell real estate.
Yep. And let's get out of real estate though. Just folks, think about going to maybe you have to go to like a plastic surgeon, for example, and maybe I wanted to get my nose fixed, or I don't know, maybe my ear's like hanging out here or something, and I needed to get something fixed. Now, I don't just go to any, it's like, I'm not just going to go and cross the border, go to Tijuana and be like, yo, walk into a plastic surgeon's office and be like, yo, bro, you got me? All right, cool. How much does it cost? Done. I'm going to do my research. And because that's an important decision to make, and because that's a very emotional decision to make, see the similarities here, guys, I'm going to look for an expert. And I'm going to go online and I'm going to start typing in a bunch of different shit. How to fix your nose, how to DIY your nose, how to do this. I'm going to type in a bunch of questions. So what we're talking about is creating content that people actually search for that creates value. Because when you answer someone's question online, you become not just respected, you become their fucking hero. And that's what we're talking about. Let's put this into perspective for real estate, the divorce market. So obviously on Facebook, you can target people getting divorced and or whatnot. Now, if you are a realtor that have actually gone through a divorce scenario yourself, I'm sorry, but this is the only ad I'm running, because you don't need more than, what, 20, 30 deals a year to have a good year. And in any given market, there's well more than that many people getting divorced. Now, right. In a divorce situation, you know what people are going through. What's happening? They're mad. They're angry. The house is usually a cause of the issue and whatnot. So if you've gone through this story, I would create a video that says something like, hey, yeah, I've gone through a divorce too. And first off, you're looking at me thinking like, hey, how do I know that? Well, I'm just targeting you on Facebook because I think it's important to share this story with you because I think it might help you out. Anyways, if you're interested, here's how it goes. But please just put shit down right now. And I would just tell the fucking crying story. I would tell the whole sob story. I would not hold anything back. And I guarantee you, through that own experience that you may have had going through a divorce yourself, there are some tidbits of information that no other real estate agent, the best realtor in your market, can't even answer, because there's some stuff that you just have to experience to be able to teach it and live through it and share it.
Right. Yeah. Which one are you going to choose? Are you thinking of buying and selling in 2019, or are you going to look at the one that says how to sell your house during a divorce and make sure that everyone ends up happy?
Right? Yeah. How to get rid of your husband, your house, and your headache at the same time.
And make money.
And make money. I'm clicking on that all day. That's so funny.
Yeah, that's the one you're going to gravitate towards, right? Because it solidifies that bond. It's relevant, right, to the actual audience. And to those that are kind of still unaware of how Facebook marketing works and targeting interests, is that Facebook aggregates an enormous amount of data, right, through the behaviors and habits that you do online and offline. And so what happens there is that as you go through emails and messages and type on comments and like things and browse the internet and look at certain types of things that may interest you, all that data is collected and basically kind of sifted through and then put into a different category interest. So as you go through a certain life stage and you may be going through a divorce, or you just had a kid, or you just graduated from school, you become an actual targeted interest during that life stage. And then a couple layers deep, you're actually looking online at realtor.com, you downloaded the Zillow app, you're starting to, you know, watch a few things on maybe Instagram, HGTV and Chip and Joanna Gaines, because you're interested in redoing some of the living room to get it ready to sell, right? All those things are clumped together and then put into different categories and interests that Facebook marketers like myself then go in and select, and then position that content to you at the right time, right? The right ad at the right time in the right place. And it needs to be highly relevant. So when Mike's talking about, you know, divorced couples and targeting them, well, that's part of it, right? It is making sure that you have the right content that goes to the right audience. Now, that's more targeted type of content. And when you target people like that, you're going to have a more refined and actually higher quality audience. But you can take that same type of advice and content and then drop that out organically to your personal page, your business page, and let people comment, like, and share on that. So there is more, you know, more of a refined type of targeting when you really pull back the layers in Facebook and actually make sure that, all right, do I have the right content to show to the right people to attract them? And then how do you tell the story about you and how you can help them after that?
Yep.
Right. And this is what we call a funnel. So you have your top of funnel, which is that maybe that divorce.
Get their attention. Yeah.
Right. And then they download that guide. Now you put them into a CRM, you have them on your Facebook pixel, and then you retarget that audience with content that's going to be relevant to their first touch point, right? What they first did. So beyond that, then some of the content should probably be, you know, based on well, alpha stemming essentially from that original content and kind of cascading from there.
Totally, folks. That is a lot of info there. I want to end this by just mentioning one thing. Don't be scared to be who you are. I think when we're talking about this content and being authentic, like, don't be scared to turn someone off. And remember this, you know, this quote is famous for a reason, is that the jack of all trades is the master of none. And when you really try to target everybody, I don't think you resonate with anyone, and you end up doing yourself a disservice. And even your clients a disservice, because if you're truly in your heart and you really believe that your involvement in a transaction actually helps people, then it is your moral duty to get in front of the people you want to help. That's how an entrepreneur thinks. That's how a business person thinks. So don't be scared to be you and ditch the front. That's not working anymore. These bus stop type of mentality ads and these billboard ads and all this other crap. I'm the best. No one gives a crap. People care that you care. That's it. Oh. All right. So Travis, awesome podcast. I love this topic. I think we could probably go for another 45 minutes and geek out. But I want to go ahead and leave a little bit of time to give you the floor. Go ahead and let people know how they can reach you, how they can engage with you. And if you guys don't know, if you want someone to run your Facebook ads for you, Travis Tom is the guy to go ahead and do that. If you want us to create content for you, then we do that. But Travis is the guy with the Facebook funnels.
And we can marry the two of them and make a really awesome Facebook baby.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. We can make Facebook babies together. But Travis, go right ahead. Your floor is yours.
If you are starting to venture into Facebook ad lead generation, or you're kind of a veteran and you've been doing it for a while, but you want someone else to take it over, we are more than happy to talk to you and do a strategy call and kind of go over where you are, what your process looks like. We run all kind of campaigns, agent recruitment campaigns, buyer seller lead generation campaigns, you name it, we've done it in some form or fashion. So more than happy to have you guys investigate with us and jump on the phone and talk to you and kind of go over what your goals are. If you want to get more information on what we do, elevatedrem.com is our website. So elevatedrem.com, that's where you can see all of our services. We also do coaching. So the coaching is Facebook lead generation coaching and Instagram, showing you the best type of marketing. We show you what we do in our agency and then actually show you what's working now, right? Best strategies, updates. And then we actually have live support calls where we actually go through your ad campaign and walk you through it or help you create an ad. So something that we love doing, very passionate about it. And if you have any questions, you have to send over to elevatedrem.com and there's a form on there you can actually submit to talk to me.
Cool. And folks, thank you for listening to another episode of the Real Estate Marketing Dude podcast. Thank you for making this show one of the tops this year. And we're continuing to grow it. And this whole show has been done organically from people like you. We've never promoted this show. We've never done anything with it. As you can tell, sometimes I film these in my bathroom. And that I want to say thank you for, because if anything from what we're talking about is quality content, we bring quality content on the show. And that's why it's done what it has done today. And I'm walking proof of what we're just talking about right now, because not too many people could do that. And it's all about quality, authenticity. So folks, you guys know where to find us, realestatemarketingdude.com. Show us some love. Leave us some reviews on this podcast. I actually am going to start promoting it this year. And show us some love. Follow us on social. Follow us on our YouTube channel. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, you name it. We're there. And if you want to see all of our content and what we're doing to create content, follow us and you'll be retargeted by us or by Travis. So we appreciate your time. And if you guys are looking for video work, personal branding, visit our site, set up a demo with a dude, and we will be in touch. Realestatemarketingdude.com. And thank you for listening to another episode and making this show this year what it was. And we're excited to keep going with it. Travis, pleasure, buddy. It's always a great time. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas.
Enjoy well, the
rest of your time off. We'll be
thank
in touch
you guys.
Soon.
Thanks, Mike. Bye,
guys. Bye-bye.
Today's episode may be over, but we have plenty more to keep you busy. To get your complete blueprint for building out a real marketing plan for your real estate business, head over to realestatemarketingdude.com and see if you have what it takes to really become more than just a typical agent. Are you the next real estate marketing dude? Find out here next time on Real Estate Marketing Dude.